TOT cast. We have a special episode today as we're going to be previewing our good old Toronto FC as they head into the MLS Cup. So me and Jake Middleton here are going to bring you through this. I know we usually talk Leafs and Jays, but we figure we got to give the actual team with the chance to win a championship some love, huh, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually the first team to actually make it to a final since the Blue Jays in 93, so had to do something for it. And it's been pretty exciting thus far, too. So
I guess we can't count the Argos winning the Grey Cup in 2012 as a team making it to the final.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, an American's point of view.
Now, see, obviously here, because we have the MLS, which is an American, basically American-based league where we get three Canadian teams. So I can understand the reference there. So you think this is the biggest Toronto, I guess, sporting event in the last, let's say, decade?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I mean, it's the first team, as you said, first team to be in a championship game since the Jays when they went to the World Series. I know, I guess the only comparison would be the Jays making it to the ALCS, but...
Or the Raptors making it to the Eastern Conference Final against LeBron James.
Yeah, it was pretty big. But, I mean, this, I think the difference between those and what we're going through with TFC is people actually feel like there's a legitimate chance that a championship will finally come to Toronto. Albeit, okay, MLS is not exactly a high-tier league like the MLB or the NBA, but the fact that TFC is finally getting there after being in the league for a decade, I think there's definitely a reason to be excited.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, for all the soccer pundits around the globe saying it's not a real league, I mean, maybe it's not as compared to the Premier League or the Serie A or La Liga, but it's our league, it's here, and you know, people consume it. They got the second highest attendance of, I'm pretty sure, any major sports league in the U.S. We got to support it. And it's our team. People have come out strong, and obviously, you can tell the buzz is getting pretty big. So it definitely has some importance to the city of Toronto.
Yeah. See, like obviously, you know, you and I could probably say that we're big hockey. You know, hockey's our number one. We got the NFL and MLB. I mean, for me, the NFL is kind of my close two with the MLB. Obviously, you're big with the NBA. Soccer is kind of like our casual follower. You know, it brings us good joy. We kind of just watch it when things are going well. Obviously, though, I mean, I've been kind of watching TFC off and on since they came in the league. But it's been kind of hard to follow them for the last, well, I think since they brought Jovinko, things have turned around. But it's been a tough time for this team, and I think it's finally a good time for their fans to actually get something to be excited for. Now, we've obviously seen the magical, it's kind of dominant play in the first two rounds against the Union and going up against New York City FC, but this Eastern Conference final, the two legs there against the Montreal Impact, probably were one of the more, I wouldn't say competitive, but the most bizarre games I have seen in, like, since I've watched soccer. I mean, I've watched many Serie A games with Juventus. I've watched a lot of World Cup and Euro Cup games with Italy. I have never watched two games of soccer that have gone this bizarre, starting with the game in Montreal with the turf issues, and then this game at BMO Field where it was, you know, there was a lot of nervous energy, and then it just kind of got away from Montreal at the end there. Have you ever seen two games in an aggregate score like that, Jake?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the closest games that I've seen that has been that crazy over aggregate would be last year in the Europa League semifinals, Dortmund versus Liverpool, where Liverpool scored the famous, you know, three goals in like the last 10 minutes to advance to the final over Dortmund. I mean, that was pretty crazy, but I mean, I think it's the first time I've watched an MLS game where literally there's so much going on, and you're actually, you know, you're holding your breath at every single dribble of the ball because the defense was so porous, and you know there were turnovers everywhere. But I mean, it was really fun to watch.
Now, see, obviously up here in Canada, I mean, TFC is starting to get some of its. I guess, bandwagon fans, as you call it, since the game sold out very quickly, in mere minutes.
3 minutes.
I mean, that's just, I think, typical Toronto. When anything is going well, it's going to be a hot ticket. What do you think this is going to mean for soccer in Canada? Obviously, we're not at that stage yet internationally to call ourselves. I mean, our biggest thing is trying to get into the World Cup, and that's just when you got teams like Panama and Mexico who are well ahead of you when it comes to qualifying. But being in the States, Jake, you've seen how probably the MLS has kind of shaped U.S. soccer. Do you think that effect is making its way to Canada, or do you think there's still some work to be done there?
I mean, obviously, there's a lot to go. There's a long way to go still. I mean, you want to be thought of as one of the best leagues in the world, and they're getting there, but they're not there yet. So, you know, but it definitely has an effect on Soccer Canada. I mean, look at the women's team, and it's kind of just embarrassing for the men's team that they can't even make it to the hex, for God's sakes. I mean, they get out-qualified by Honduras. I mean, we're a relatively rich country in terms of GDP, and you go got 40 million people. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to make their way to at least the final qualifying sections for the World Cup and even, you know, Copa America and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it because, like, it's not like Canada. I mean, when you think of Canada, it's not a country that's not able to put any investment into its sports teams. I mean, we're starting to see with Canadian basketball, with the young stars, and it's kind of coming up on the rise. I mean, Canada's always going to be dominant at hockey. Baseball, obviously, it's kind of the same situation as soccer, where we've got good players, but the depth and the competitive is not there yet. How I don't understand how soccer is not able to kind of grasp here in Canada, considering, like basketball, it's not a hard game to get into, considering you don't need much other than, you know, a ball and
some shoes.
And some shoes. Like, it's just like basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it did make sense to me, but I think the big main thing is you have to have your own league, and that was kind of the thing in the past for at least men's soccer. I mean, every major team in the world stage obviously has their own league where they develop their own players and come through. And I think it's big that, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal, the big metropolises, have their own academies for their own players to come through. And it's starting to see with actual players coming out of those academies. And it'll be cool to see. Maybe one of those guys will be the big-time star that goes and plays over in Europe. Obviously, we're hoping that with Kyle Larin, the striker for Orlando City, he looks really good and is poised to be in Europe one day. But, again, you just need more and more of those guys. I mean, look at the United States. They're still, they're qualified, but that's probably because they have 340 million people. I mean, this is probably the first time the U.S. has ever had a superstar player, and it's Christian Pulisic, who's started today versus Real Madrid for Borussia Dortmund. I mean, they haven't had a all-star player since him. I mean, there's been plenty that have been touted, you know, Freddie Adu and all those guys, but I mean, I think this is finally the player that hopefully can put them over the top, like a Ronaldo or a Messi or a Bale or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when I think of, obviously, Canadian soccer, definitely a long way to go. I don't really see that superstar player that maybe like the States have, or those recognized international players like, you know, Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley. Those guys there have built up, you know, the reps in international soccer. So going into this playoffs, obviously people were wondering whether TFC could get over the hump, especially defensively after what was, I will never forget that game against Montreal last year in that knockout round. And we almost had a repeat of that. Going into that game at the Big O, obviously the delay didn't help, but being down 3-0, I mean, you and I were watching the game. We were chatting in the group, and we were just, I guess the word for me was dumbfounded, because I couldn't believe it was happening again, where TFC went down early. Not just they went down early and had to claw back. And obviously those two goals, on the road in Montreal were very, very big, especially to give them a confidence boost. But what were your thoughts in that after that first leg? Were you happy that they got the two goals, or were you more disappointed that they probably should have won that game and they kind of let the emotion of that game get to them?
From Montreal's point of view?
Or from Toronto's point of view?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty tough. I mean, obviously, it's such a sham that they had to play in such a terrible field environment. I mean, it was such a sham that, you know, they did it as a cash grab, and I hope it worked for them because, you know, maybe they can use some money to put actual turf in if it's going to be used. But, I mean, it kind of just looked like early on that they were really upset with the field surface and they wanted everybody to know it, and they kind of fell asleep. And Montreal, good on them. They did really well on the counterattack. But, I mean, Toronto FC they kind of blew it early on. You know, they were really outplayed early on. Maybe that's because of the delay or they weren't used to their surroundings. But you got to give it to Montreal for putting away their chances, and they did that early on. But thankfully, they came back and scored a couple goals, got away with a few pretty bad pushes by Jozy Altidore, but I think they'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the emotion of that game, and obviously, I understand the whole cash grab scenario. I mean, when you have a chance to have 60,000 fans pack into the Big O, I think, especially a team like Montreal, where their stadium is not the biggest, especially in capacity, I can understand why the decision was made. But considering the amount of time they had to get ready for that, you would think just to have turf in the playing area, it didn't have to be the whole field, just the main playing area, kind of like how TFC has it. I didn't understand that. I know that they had new turf put in for the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, and then it was taken out to be put at the training grounds. But I think that was a big, it was a big opportunity missed by Soccer Canada, who could have stepped in, I think, to kind of give a better atmosphere, a better experience for the players in their first leg of the East Conference Final. But luckily, there was another game back at BMO Field, which had its highest attendance, over 36,000 fans packed into BMO Field. With the rain, I wondered how the rain was going to play a factor, and considering that the Grey Cup was played not too long before the game, when you were watching that game, what was your thought of the atmosphere? Just the atmosphere, not the game itself, but the atmosphere of the fans in BMO Field like that.
I thought it was the best atmosphere I've seen at a game in a long time. I mean, it was loud all the time. I mean, after the Ricketts goal, I actually thought that the grandstand was going to fall down. It was that loud. I mean, it was pretty incredible to see the pure noise that came out, and the fact that they were singing and were loud for literally all 120 minutes. It was pretty insane to see, and it's definitely something that I haven't seen at a sporting event in Toronto outside of the Blue Jays in a long time. I mean, just the decibel level. I guess it's because the sheer amount of people that had 36,000 over, you know, 20,000 at a basketball stadium, but it was impressive. It was deafening for sure.
Like, I went to one of the Jays game. I went to both the wild card game and the elimination game against Cleveland. It was loud at the Rogers Center, but I also take into account that the roof was closed for one of those games. But then when I saw that atmosphere at BMO Field, I mean, we've always talked about how the atmosphere is such a unique thing with TFC. I think kind of a reason why it's become such a big draw in Toronto as opposed to, let's say, the Leafs, the Jays, Raptors, and the Argos. When I see this atmosphere, I think that just adds another element to the game. I think that's kind of the reason why TFC was able to pull away with the win, because when I watched that game early on, it did not look good again. I mean, this team has had a tough time getting going in the game. A lot of their goals have kind of come later in the game. I don't know if that's going to work against Seattle, which we'll get to in a second. But when I watched that second leg, I found it kind of astonishing that they were able to turn things around after not only giving up the advantage with the away goals, but to go into extra time, lose Sebastian Jovinko to an injury. Obviously, it wasn't a big injury to keep him, that's going to keep him out of this game, but good enough to keep him out of extra time. But for them to lose him and score two goals in extra time after you basically had tied it on aggregate, people were kind of wondering what was going to happen next time, because obviously anything can happen extra time. When it was going into extra time, Jake, what were your thoughts? What did you think was going to – were you kind of nervous? Were you excited? What was going through your head?
I don't know. I mean, I was really nervous when Didier Drogba came on, because I kind of thought that he would be the guy that would just put the dagger in their hearts, because, you know, he did it last year. I mean, he killed them last year. And when I saw him come on, I'm like, oh, this is a guy that has the pedigree. He scored huge goals in World Cups and Champions League finals. You know, I thought when he came on that they were going to lose that. But, I mean, as the game wore on, you kind of started to see that Montreal did not have the fitness of TFC. I mean, they were worn down. They looked really tired, and they looked their age, and they looked old. I mean, whereas Toronto had some, you know, younger legs, and obviously Greg Vanney's, made his money on having, by his accounts, the most fit team in the league, and it looked like that way. And I mean, when Tosin Ricketts came on, and unfortunately after Jovinko had a cramp and Benoit Charroux came on, that was a pretty nice cross by Betashore. And when I saw it going in, I'm like, I have a feeling that this is going to be the way it happens. You know, a guy that has basically not played at all this season just comes in and makes an instant impact for TFC's best player. It was pretty funny to see.
Which goal in the game was your favorite?
Oh, I think the second one by Jozy Altidore right before half on the corner, where him and Jovinko were talking, and you could tell they designed that, and he just said, you know, go near post, and I got it. And that was a really, really nice header. I mean, say what you will about the skill level in MLS, but that was a world-class header right there. I mean, to be able to move and run and score short post, near post on a goalie, on any goalie, is insanely impressive. And outside of that would probably be the Nick Hanglin goal. I mean, all of them were pretty incredible goals, but, you know, it would have to be the second and third one, because I don't know. Outside of that header that Nick Hanglin scored, I didn't really see them posing a major threat at goal outside of that. And, you know, obviously it was a beautiful header, and they just killed them on set pieces the whole night. So,
yeah,
but definitely the second goal was my favorite.
Yeah, Hanglin was mine because of the energy that he brought, and it was kind of like the unlikeliest guy I was expecting to score in this scenario. But no, the Altidore goal was, I mean, when you think about like how many times have you seen, you know, in hockey, a guy on the faceoff talks with another player, Crosby. We think about Crosby in the playoffs where he talks, I think it was with Sheary, and they had a set play going, or Letang, they had a set play going. And then maybe you'll see it in, in football where the quarterback tells the receiver to change the play.
I mean, yeah, audibles.
Audibles. Like, I've never seen it in soccer work that way, especially off a corner where you think if when Jovinko and Altidore were talking, Montreal would kind of get the hint that, oh, maybe that they should spend a little more time looking at Jozy Altidore. I don't know if you saw Vanny's reaction before and after the play, where I think it was the play was set to go to Will Johnson,
and he wasn't happy about it before. No, I'm pretty sure he was seen screaming at them, and then it worked out. And then at the end of the game, he's like, "I'm perfectly fine with that because that was not what I drew up at all."
Yeah. It was kind of incredible. So they get past Montreal, they get to the MLS Cup. Obviously, Seattle is not exactly the easiest opponent, but it's not the hardest opponent, I don't think, for them. But when you look at this Seattle team, I mean, people were talking about how this turnaround that they had. I mean, it was kind of in July, the team was 6-2-12, so 12 losses, 6 wins, 10 points back of a playoff spot. They fire their head coach. They bring in the assistant coach to take on the job, and they win 12 of the last 14 games. They get 12 points in the last 14 games, 8 wins, to get 4th in the World West Conference, and now they're in the MLS Cup. Obviously, Seattle, we don't talk about them a lot since they're in the West, but I think other than TFC, Seattle is probably maybe the equivalent of TFC in the West, considering when you look at their fan experience, the stadium, considering they play over, they play at the same stadium as the Seahawks. When you think of Seattle, do you find that they pose a big threat?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the thing that it just proved is outside of obviously they had injuries with and they had Obafemi Martins leaving for China and Clint Dempsey getting injured was unfortunate, but it just shows what, you know, money can do for you. I mean, they spent money and they got a class player. They got a really good player in Nico Ladero from Boca Juniors, and that really turned around their season. It was a great signing for them, and I mean, they obviously have some really good players over there. I mean, I'm pretty sure their back four is pretty stout. They got some really good offensive weapons, and obviously Jordan Morris, the U.S. Men's National Team striker, and obviously Nico Ladero, who's probably the best number 10 in the whole league. And I mean, outside of that, today I was watching Fox Sports Business, and Alexi Lawless, who's a Fox Sports commentator and played for the U.S. Men's National Team, had a comment saying, you know, Toronto, they love their soccer. Same with Seattle. This is the biggest MLS Cup ever because it's between the two biggest soccer markets in North America, and it's something I agree with. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm not hoping TFC wins, but if there was another team that I would want to win, it would be Seattle. I mean, considering the crowds they pack in for each and every game, I mean, it's impressive. They get, you know, 40,000 a game for an MLS team is pretty absurd to think about. And, you know, they have a lot of, you know, run by, you know, some smart guys. They got some big time US players that I'm a fan of. I'm a big Clint Dempsey fan. They're owned by Drew Carey from Whose Line Is It Anyway? So I mean, you obviously like seeing passionate fan bases. That's who you root for. Well, in my opinion, that's teams I root for, is teams that have, you know, fans who are really passionate about the game, and they definitely would deserve it. But obviously, I hope TFC wins. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a huge game, in my opinion. I think it's going to break shadow records in the U.S. and in Canada. I mean, this is probably the dream matchup outside of maybe L.A. and Toronto, or L.A. or New York City and Seattle. You know, these are two big time fan bases, and you know, based on how quick tickets sold out and what people were asking for tickets, it really proved that this is going to be a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, okay, when you look at the two teams, I can't see a team teams that have had totally different paths to this championship. You look at Seattle, it's their first time making it to the MLS Cup, just like Toronto, but they have made it to the playoffs every season since they came into the league. They've won the Supporters' Shield. They've been to the Western Conference Final twice. This is Toronto FC's second time in the playoffs and first time making it to the MLS Cup. So, obviously, there's a lot at stake for both teams. I mean, both teams would definitely like to come away with the win. But who do you think stands to have who has the most to lose in this game? For me, I think it's Seattle, just on the sheer fact that they've been there so many times. They've had the chance. It's their first, obviously, it's their first time making it to the MLS Cup. But I mean, considering that they've kind of been in the playoffs every year, they've kind of had chances every year, and to finally have that chance and maybe have it slip away, I think they have the most to lose. But who do you think? Is it Toronto or is it Seattle?
I'm gonna have to agree with you that it's Seattle. But honestly, just by looking at it, I don't think anybody's losing here by having them both in the final. I mean, this is, as you said, this is the first time for both of them that they're in a final. And, you know, they're relatively new franchises. I mean, they're both, what is it, Seattle's like 6 years old and Toronto's almost 10. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's just personally for Toronto and Seattle, I think they spent a lot of money and they put in the correct resources, so they deserve it. But, I mean, I don't want to sound like someone who's just, you know, willing to go out and say, yeah, we're okay with losing it and we're just happy to be here. But I think it's just a big step for both these teams to get over the hump and, you know, finally have something to show for all the support they've gotten and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think for TFC's fans, they have to be really proud of what this team has been able to accomplish. I mean, when you look at, I mean, the biggest failure I think in recent memory for like Toronto sports was this whole Jermaine Defoe marketing campaign that TFC did, you know, the whole bloody big deal, just for it to fall apart. I mean, Jovinko, just think about it, like, well, ever since he's been with Toronto FC, they've made it to the playoffs both years. So I can't think of a better matchup, as you were saying. And I mean, when we look at this game, obviously all eyes will be on Nicholas Lodiero for Seattle and Jovinko for Toronto. But who do you think has been Toronto's best player in the playoffs?
Jozy Altidore, bar none.
And don't you find it kind of strange that, well, not strange, but ironic that most people were questioning whether he should continue to be with the team after all those bad runs, running with injuries, and just not having that other guy to play with for until they brought in Jovinko? Don't you kind of find it ironic that he's the one that stepped up most in this playoff round?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously just kind of a testament to the guy that Jozy Altidore is. I mean, he's extremely talented. I mean, as a U.S. soccer supporter, I know that. He's just been a guy that, you know, lit up the Eredivisie in the Dutch league with AZ Alkmaar. And, you know, with Sunderland, he came in with much fanfare. And, I mean, he's just kind of always been below expectations. And then in the 2010 World Cup, where he tore his hamstring and it kind of really derailed the U.S.'s chances early on, he's always been that guy where you're always wanting more and you're starting to get flashes of it. And if they win, it's going to be because he scores a goal for what would be the sixth consecutive playoff game, which is already an MLS record at five. And, I mean, he's just a guy that you have to root for.
Yeah. I mean, the other guy we're obviously rooting for here is Sebastian Jovinko. Me, because he's Italian, me from being from my... I mean, when he came to the MLS, when he came to Toronto, I said this is probably the biggest acquisition. I mean, obviously, people were all making a big deal of the Jermaine Defoe one, and I said this is going to be even bigger. Many people were kind of... I don't say skeptical of Joe. I mean, some were skeptical just based on his size, whether his size would fit in the MLS, which is a more physical brand. The fact that he fell out of favor with Juventus, and then he comes here and he absolutely lights up the league. And when I mean lighted up, I mean there was no team that really could shut him down. They would just try to contain him, because if he wasn't scoring, he was setting up somebody else. And we saw that in the second leg, where obviously he didn't score, but he set up probably a very crucial goal with Altidore. And then the team rallies together when he has to leave with an injury, which shows just the character of the team and what he means to the team. I think if they're going to win this game, Altidore is going to be important, but I think Jovinko is going to have to be the reason why, because you're going up against probably the second best player, probably the second best player in the league in Lodiero. You have to be the best player like you have been all year and since you've come in the MLS. So basically what I want to say here is, like, when you look at this game here, obviously Seattle's not the biggest offensive team. They do have goal scoring they probably don't have the same depth of goal scoring that that TFC has. But when you look at this game, what do you think is going to be the deciding factor?
I think it's going to be the battle between Jose Altidore and the center back pairing. I think it's Chad Marshall and Roman Torres. I think I heard them say, but I mean, he's obviously a big physical guy. They're big physical guys, so it's going to be a battle down there. And obviously, I mean, the left backs and right backs and how they handle Sebastian Giovinco. I mean, last time they played him pretty well, but they also played TFC when they didn't have guys like Michael Bradley or Jozy Altidore, which are their second and third best players. So, I mean, that's pretty big to not have on your team. But that's for sure going to be the main matchup to watch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing obviously the TFC has going for them is the fact that they're hosting the MLS Cup.
Which is huge.
Which is, I think, massive, considering how well they played at home in the playoffs. I'm really also curious to see. I think the key for TFC is if they can survive the first 30 minutes, because the first 30 minutes have been killer for them. Especially against Montreal, where they let in goals pretty early. I think if they can survive the first 30 minutes without giving up a goal, and as the game goes on, they're going to wear this Seattle team out. And I think that's going to be that should be the game plan for Greg Vanney, considering, as you said, this team is very, very fit. They should be able to go toe-to-toe with them for the full 90 minutes and even extra time. Would it surprise you if this game went to extra time?
I want to say yes, but not really. I mean, they seem kind of, you know, similar in the sense that they have the big name players, but they also have really good depth players that they have signed and have picked up, and they're a really good team overall. I think I would be really shocked if it went to extra time, purely because I just don't think it happens in major finals. I mean, then again, actually, it might, considering it happens in Champions League all the time. But, you know, I wouldn't really be surprised. But I feel like there's going to be a winner after the first 90 minutes.
All right. So as we kind of draw an end here, your prediction for the game?
I'm predicting that TFC will win 2-1.
All right. So you're going 2-1?
I just think that being at home is such an added advantage, and they're going to want to put on a show for the fans of Toronto, and I think the city's going to be rocking come Saturday.
All right. I'm going to say that, yes, they're going to – I don't think Seattle's going to get more than one goal, but I think TFC's going to get three. I'm going with a 3-1 score. Only reason why, because I think Jovinko's going to get two goals.
Wow. So I have this weird feeling that they're going to get a penalty or something, or a red card or something like that. Something weird's going to happen.
TFC has to really watch. They have a tendency to get really, really physical. Like Armando Cooper is one guy that's going to have to really, really watch. Altidore is going to have to watch, because you for sure the refs are going to be very stingy with those whistles. If they can avoid those problems, they should have no problem going. And I think Seba is gonna draw some calls. I think if he gets, he's probably gonna get a penalty kick. That's where I think he's gonna get one of them, because in those big games, that's where he usually gets where his magic happens. So, I'm gonna go on a line there and say he's gonna get two goals and they're gonna win 3-1.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, for him, this is the reason why you brought him here. This is the reason why you pay him, you know, $7 million a year. I think, you know, he's performed in big games. He's played in Coppa Italia's. I think he's won a Scudetto with Juventus. So,
well, Juventus is basically winning it almost every year. So
yeah. I just didn't know if he was a full time player or not. I know he was a sub, but you know, so he's been there and he's been in big games. And you know, obviously, I also want to say he's used to playing in the cold, because Turin's pretty cold up there. So maybe that has an effect on the game, but I also think it helps that we're home. Helps a lot.
Yeah. And just to think that $7 million is buying TFC. Just incredible. Considering what other star players are making.
Based on based on the opportunity to win a championship and all the potential marketing dollars, I mean, I got to give credit to MLSE. You know, a lot of people say they're cheap and stuff like that, but I mean, you can't say they haven't tried with TFC. The investment they put in is insane. It's almost $200 million when you think about it. What's considering it, salaries for players, transfer fees paid for players, the renovation for the stadium, which is beautiful, by the way.
Yep.
One of the nicest stadiums in North America, if not the nicest.
Well, I think the nicest in Toronto, for sure.
Oh, easily. I mean, I wish the Blue Jays could get the hint and do something like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's really good times for TFC. And obviously there's, you know, big teams coming in the next couple of years as an LAFC. And, you know, Atlanta United paid apparently $12 million for a transfer fee, which is unheard of. So, I mean, hopefully this is a long run of good form for the team, and hopefully they can put together a couple MLS Cups. That would be really cool.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's going to be one of the biggest games in recent memory for Toronto sports. And obviously, you know, you and me here talking, and we were trying to get Chris to come on the show. He's a little too shy when it comes to soccer talk, considering he's, I don't know what we would call him. We would call him the guy who's all big into the macho sports. And when it comes to the finesse style, he kind of lacks the knowledge there. But hopefully he's listening. Chris, if you're watching that game on site, you're going to be in for a treat, because I think that crowd is going to be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited to see the game. And I really wonder how people are going to react if they win, you know, if they have a parade, and how well it's intended and where it is, because that would definitely be really fun.
That the X grounds provide a great place for, because they march. I mean, if you've ever watched the lead ups to TFC games, or if you've,
they march down.
They've made a great atmosphere there for the fans. If they win, they're going to be, that place is going to be, because first off, that game is going late. It's starting at 8 o'clock. So that game is going to be there. It's going to be late. It's going to be late night in Toronto on a Saturday night. I know the Leafs are playing. Luckily, the Leafs are going to be out of town that night. But that area, the X grounds, is going to be rocking. I wouldn't want to be driving in that area, but it's going to be rocking if they win. No doubt about it. So with that, I wanted to thank you guys for listening. Obviously, this is our first crack at a TFC podcast. We hope to have another one with a good result to talk about after the game. So if you want to listen or look up any more of our stuff on TFC and out of the Toronto Sports, you can look us up on Twitter at tipofthetower.com. Go to Facebook, Tip of the Tower. You can follow me, David Morissuti, at D_Morissuti. And you can find Jake on Twitter at Jake Middleton. Jake Middleton or Jake Middleton 13, Jake? I always forget with
Jake
you.
Middleton 12,
I believe. 12. Oh, I would have totally messed that up. So
it's a popular name.
It's a yeah. I mean, Jake Middleton, yeah, there's quite a few of those out there, especially in good old London, England. So please take a minute to subscribe to our channels. We always have great stuff on the Raptors with Chris and DeMar. So please check that out if you're a big Raptors fan. If you're not, don't worry. We're going to have all the other Toronto sports coverage throughout the year. Thank you guys for listening.